Welcome to the Mobility Management Podcast. I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine and your podcast host. And the man of the hour today, or the man of the half hour, I guess, is Brad Peterson, the VP of Sales in the United States for Amelior. In more than 25 years in the rehab industry, Brad has worked as a clinician, a provider, a manufacturer's representative, and currently a manufacturer. With nearly 20 years' experience as a manufacturer, Brad has worked for Quantum Rehab as well as Motion Concepts in both sales management and educational roles. He has lectured extensively throughout the United States and Canada at seminars and symposiums, including ResNA, MedTrade, the International Seating Symposium, and the Canadian Seating and Mobility Conference. Brad has also been published in numerous trade publications, including Mobility Management. So in addition to that comprehensive resume, Brad is also a very generous collaborator, because this podcast topic actually springs from an interview that Brad did for a Mobility Management story on Power Tilt. And when I started interviewing him for that story, I expected a pretty straightforward conversation. But as we continued talking, Brad mentioned so many more applications for posterior tilt, not to mention the additions of anterior and lateral tilt. And that's when I realized that this powered seating topic is both common and complex, with so many different possible applications and goals. And that's why Brad's with us today. So, Brad, thanks for being on the podcast.
Well, good morning, Lori, and hello to everybody who is listening at whatever time of day it may be. I appreciate the opportunity. It's always great to talk to you.
Well, let's start by talking about posterior or backward tilt. What are the major reasons a clinician would want to include posterior tilt on a power wheelchair?
Well, I just want to say a couple of things before I answer that specifically, and that's that, you know, I've been in power positioning for, you know, close to 25, 30 years, and I've always really enjoyed working with power wheelchairs and specifically power positioning because of how big your, I guess you could say, your palette is as far as solutions for someone. And, you know, from a posterior tilt standpoint, really the big one that people were looking for in the beginning is pressure reduction, you know, without having to incorporate shear, which you had with your normal recline systems. Other things such as edema management, stability, balance, letting gravity help you out with doing your positioning, dealing with folks who have a little bit less trunk control. There are many indications for posterior tilt. You know, we see it used a lot of different ways, you know, but I'd say that pressure reduction probably has been the biggest one. One that I am a very firm believer in, and I said it in our story, is comfort. And I know that comfort can be kind of a dirty word when it comes to funding and looking at why we prescribe anything. But I think we'll all agree that if someone's not comfortable, they'll find a way to get into a position of comfort, which could compromise everything you're doing with your system, or just force someone not to use, you know, the application at all. So big believer in comfort, pain management, fatigue, all kinds of different wonderful things you could do with posterior tilt. See, this is the problem, Lori, is you get me going. Now I start thinking about all these other things. Head control, really, there really isn't much of a limit as to what you can do with gravity.
Okay, so let's talk then about a couple of different ranges of posterior tilt. You mentioned all those possible applications, but there are a couple of different ranges of tilt that we see in today's power wheelchairs. The first range is that 45-plus degrees of tilt that we often see on complex power wheelchairs, but there are also wheelchairs that offer significantly less power tilt, right? So we're talking about, from a functional and a goals perspective, when do we see 45 degrees of posterior tilt used, and when do we see smaller amounts of tilt used? Maybe very little, maybe as little as 5 or 10 degrees.
You know, that's a great question, and I think the answer can be nuanced in many different ways. I mean, the simple way of saying it is that, you know, if you're really shooting for the maximum amount of pressure reduction or redistribution, you have to have at least 45 degrees of tilt. You know, the 45 degrees has been a magic number that's been, you know, much of the studies for many years. So 45 degrees plus is going to give you the most amount of pressure reduction. Indeed, we still work with people who feel that you need to have 55 degrees to get a proper offloading and shift of the weight. The lesser amounts of tilt, what we find and what we see is that a lot of times people aren't using their full range. They're only using 10, 15, 20 degrees just for a position change, just to, you know, take a little bit of gravity into their seated position throughout the course of the day, visual field orientation. So that's just a simple reposition or a simple comfort type of a shift. So everybody had 45 degrees or more up until, what, 4 or 5 years ago, I forget, get the exact date, you know, when CMS changed the definition of what tilt is. But, you know, I've always been a firm believer that, you know, having more available to you kind of keeps your options open depending upon what someone may need down the road. And what we're also finding, A lot of times with a power positioning, a lot of times if you have someone who's going into a chair for the first time, they may not want to use the full range in the beginning because they're apprehensive, they've never been tilted, they've never been reclined. But as they become more comfortable with it, they may want to open it up more and, you know, enjoy the physiological benefits of having that additional range. Having a system with less tilt to begin with kind of takes that growth or takes that, you know, that need off the table. So I think what some manufacturers are doing now too, and some clinicians are doing with their ATPs, is you can actually limit the amount of tilt you have in a system through the electronics. And then as someone becomes more accustomed to it and less afraid of their system, you can add more tilt range in. And I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, but personally, me and a lot of other folks in the industry have been concerned when the definition of the tilt changed that we just see people coming in and just prescribing, you know, lower cost, lower range tilts and really not give people the opportunity to address their pressure reduction or other more advanced positioning issues.
For a while, when you saw a prescription for posterior tilt, it was used together with recline almost all the time, especially for clients with complex positioning needs. But now right. I understand that some clinicians are choosing to provide only tilt without recline. So what are some possible scenarios where that might be a good choice?
Well, I think if you go back to one of your original questions, which is, you know, what do we use tilt for? And most times it's pressure reduction. Most times it's to, you know, to increase the surface area that someone's sitting on. And, you know, any type of equipment or any type of power positioning system or material you throw at someone, it's only a piece of the puzzle. So tilt in conjunction with proper seating, in conjunction with properly measured system in the rest of their environment, will help with pressure. So tilt recline, it gives you the combination systems, give you the capability to take the body's weight and spread it out over a larger surface area. And many of the articles would say that your optimal amount of pressure reduction would happen somewhere between 25 and 45 degrees of tilt, in addition to 110 to 150 degrees of recline. So if you think of it, not many of us would like to be sat up at 90 or 95 degrees and then tilted back. You know, we'd like to open our hips or have the ability to do so. What we're finding now is that some folks, that's a little too much complexity. You're dealing with different back angles, you know, different limits, drive limits, and the ability to control one power positioning function through your drive controller or joystick. So people are using it for simplicity. They're not prescribing recline. They don't see a necessity to open someone's hip angle up, whether it be because of tone, where it might be contraindicated, spasticity, adding shear into the system, you know, the complexity of what may be going on behind the chair, you know, overall length of the chair. Recline systems can be a little bit longer sometimes, especially if you're hanging things off the back of the chair. So I think tilt only, you know, has remained tried and true, you know, for everybody. It's kind of a do-all type of power positioning function. But, you know, tilt and recline is still the majority of what we see going out there, but we're definitely seeing more tilt-onlys going out. And then, of course, no one loves to talk about it, but that comes down to funding, and that comes down to justification. And, you know, if you're writing a tilt and recline, you should properly justify why you need the tilt and why you need the recline, you know, separately, because they do different things. And I think sometimes the simplicity of tilt-only is the way people are going.
And I know you're a big fan of being able to tilt multiple planes, not just backward. So let's move to tilting in other directions. For example, anterior tilt moves the client forward in the seating system. And what are some possible indications and uses that you've seen for anterior tilt?
Well, I'm a big fan of moving in general. I think that especially now, all of the manufacturers are doing such wonderful things with all of their systems. There are so many options open to someone in terms of moving their body, whether it be their legs, their arms, you know, tilt, recline, lateral tilt, anterior tilt. I'm a big fan of moving and making sure that we're addressing the client's needs, both environmentally and functionally, as well as physiologically. So, you know, anterior tilt's just something that's kind of come to the forefront, I'd say, over the past 3 to 5 years. And, you know, one of the biggest benefits of anterior tilt, or one of the biggest things we see with it, is for people who want to independently transfer or help to get their feet on the ground. We get a lot of requests for getting feet to the floor or to get the femurs in kind of a downhill orientation. What's kind of interesting about the way an anterior, I won't call it tilt, but the way an anterior movement has evolved is you have anterior tilt, which I would call the kind of thing you'd see like in a seat lift chair, where the system pitches forward and then the rear of the seat rises and the back angle opens. We also have something that would just lower the knees in relation to the hips, more of an anterior slope or an anterior assist. And now what's kind of exciting with a lot of the anterior systems out there is they're coming forward, like we discussed before, but also the whole system is coming out. And what that does is that gives someone access to reach, environmental access to higher items and things more forward in their home on countertops or in closed spaces. So the interior can have a lot of different applications for environmental access, reach, tone reduction. Sometimes we'll actually open people's hips up to get their head stacked over their shoulders and their hips to reduce tone access. And then one of the first things I ever used the anterior tilt for long ago was for visual field. If you have someone who has a really big, open seat-to-back angle, a fixed hip angle, giving them the ability to drive in some anterior tilt gets their eyes where they need to be to drive and to be, you know, much more active participant in their environment.
And I've also heard you talk about lateral tilt, side-to-side tilt, especially as a way for power chair users to achieve micro-movements, and I love that term. These micro-movements aren't necessarily dramatic in terms of how much someone is moving, but that ability to make a lot of adjustments over and over throughout the day, even if it's not moving a lot, I know that that can do a lot to help somebody to be more functional. And I know that you're a fan of lateral tilt. So what have you seen that used for?
Well, lateral tilt is another one that's, you know, it's been around for a while, but gosh, Laura, I go back to 15, 20 years ago when I saw someone talking about lateral tilt in like a gurney type of a system and how they used it for, you know, digestion, gastric emptying, you know, someone who really has a fixed rotoscoliosis where their ribs are on their pelvis and using gravity to kind of tilt them away from the curve and open them up. There's a lot of really neat, interesting things that you can look at lateral tilt, but there are also some incredibly simple things that people have used lateral tilt for. And one of them is pressure reduction. You know, if you have someone who has a really bad pressure injury on a side, being able to tilt, recline, and then laterally unweight that uphill IT can really help get someone off of the area they can't with traditional tilt and recline. Something as simple as reach. You know, we've seen people who've used lateral tilt to reach to get things on a table or a floor. You know, it's kind of how much the imagination will wander, transfer. People who do sliding transfers. But I think from a skeletal standpoint, in dealing with aggressive deformities and head control, that's one of the big things we've seen lateral tilt used with quite a bit. Now, because you're taking someone and tilting them laterally on a chair, you know, weight becomes an issue. You know, the weight of the client, how much they will have on their system, whether it be ventilators or different support needs, the width of the chair, the types of batteries. But, you know, lateral tilt is one that we see used a lot of times as a solution of last choice, I guess you could say, because they haven't thought about it. But when they use it, they're blown away with what it can do for someone in terms of comfort, function, and pressure reduction.
So lateral tilt can be used for a lot of the reasons that we would think about anterior or posterior tilt as far as
sure.
weight reduction, offloading, that sort of thing.
And think of it this way, that, you know, if you're someone who works in an office or is a professional or a student or anything, you know, if you want to be compliant, and we haven't even used that word yet, compliance, but that speaks back to what we talked about with, I think, how we got to lesser tilt angles to begin with. If you're compliant with a pressure reduction schedule because of your risk factors, you know, you should be tilting several times an hour to 45 plus degrees of tilt. So if you're doing those types of tilts or reclines or combination movements, you're basically moving yourself out of interacting with your environment. You know, you're probably looking at the ceiling. You're not speaking to someone. And I think it's that type of movement that stops a lot of people from being compliant with those types of schedules. Whereas with lateral tilt, you can actually tilt 10, 15 degrees to one side, do a smaller tilt or recline, and use gravity that sometimes people can actually help them on weight a little bit, or you can actually recognize a bit more of a pressure reduction from, you know, the side you're trying to off weight just with those three combinations without compromising your visual field. And my colleague, Stephanie Tangway, you know, when I was at Motion, talked a lot about this and had some great case studies, and it just showed that, you know, people use it for many different reasons. Everything with lateral tilt that we're trying to do, whether it be digestion, respiration, pressure reduction, swallowing, anything you're trying to do, you can measure. So So in terms of trying to write a letter or trying to justify it, you can do pressure mapping to show how someone can do more weight shifts or better weight shifts with lateral tilt. You know, you can do a barium swallow, you can do a video fluoroscopy, you can do all these different things, you know, respiratory tests to show how lateral tilt, when used in conjunction with tilt and recline, can actually just make that system a little bit better for someone.
You talked about staring up at the ceiling for
minutes
of every hour. If you're being fully compliant, if you're following the best practices, we're asking a lot of clients, aren't we, as far as stopping in the middle of their day over and over and over to do this pretty radical weight shift so that you're looking up at the ceiling. So my last question about tilt in any plane, any direction, was about contraindications for posterior, anterior, or lateral tilt. And we know that the complexity of medical conditions and the individuality of complex rehab clients means that no single complex rehab intervention is perfect for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So we always like to talk about what are some possible situations where tilt might not be indicated. And I'm wondering if that lack of compliance sometimes is, like you said, that necessity that to be compliant, you have to break off what you're doing, you have to break off who you're talking to, and it's not just for a couple of minutes a day. It's a pretty regular routine that you have to do to be compliant. So let's talk about some of the reasons that tilt might not be indicated or that people aren't compliant with their tilt regimens.
Ooh, two different things. Okay. I think that's another great question. And, you know, from a tilt standpoint, me speaking personally from my years of experience and what I've seen, you know, I think tilt, you know, has an application for pretty much anybody who's sitting for an extended period of time, okay? Whether it be for comfort, for pressure reduction, for visual field. I think I said that in the article that you wrote, you know, most folks, if we have a car seat or when we get into a chair for an extended amount of time, when we were kids sitting in our grandmother's fixed back dining room chairs, we'd always tilt back on the rear legs, or we always do something to let gravity help us out a little bit with our sitting tolerance. So I think tilt is an application that anyone who is sitting for an extended amount of time could benefit from. You know, some of the contraindications for tilt are just to make sure that you're not putting pressure somewhere where they have increased risk for pressure injury, whether it be a scapula or a spine or an elbow or a heel. Always look at where that weight's going to go, because when you tilt someone back, it's not just going to disappear, you're transferring the weight somewhere else. Obviously, in terms of catheterization, indwelling catheters, you just want to make sure that you don't have any backflow if you're dealing with those types of situations. And, you know, from any power positioning system, I think it's incredibly important that we make sure what we're prescribing works in the environment, that the folks who are prescribing it for know exactly what it does, and that they experience it. Because all too often, we see people who have never tilted or never reclined, and they get scared of it. And, you know, I'm sure if you talk to anyone who does drive controls or specialty controls, you know, you never want someone to fail. You always want someone to get a good experience from that system from the beginning, so they feel comfortable with how it's going to change their lives, many times because their lives have been upended so quickly. So, you know, startle reflexes, increased tone, what it can do to someone from an orthostatic hypertension standpoint and blood flow, especially key with folks who are just getting out of bed for the first time after a catastrophic injury. You want to be able to make sure that they're not going to put themselves in a position where they're going to pass out and have those types of issues. So as I thought about all the questions and as I kind of did the postmortem on our discussion a couple of weeks ago, I can get going and talk about a lot of different things when it comes to power positioning. And it's just because I've had the great good fortune of being able to do it for so long. But I think that each person has to look at every client differently, and it's very easy for us to say, well, he gets a tilt or she gets a tilt recline, because it's so commonplace now. But I just think we just have to take that extra minute or two and just say, well, what do we want to do? What are we trying to accomplish? And tailor your system to what we're trying to accomplish rather than saying, okay, well, they're going to get a tilt and recline. Well, why are they getting a tilt recline? What's the most important thing? Having work for manufacturers that made multifunction power positioning systems, it's very rare where you can get everything that you want. You know, as Rolling Stone said, you can't always get what you want. You usually have to sacrifice something. So that's one of the key things to do in your entire evaluation process. And to try to touch on your last question about compliance, as you and I have talked about today, you know, I have a 7-year-old and 8-year-old. So compliance is something I'm very familiar with, you know, from a 7 and 8-year-old standpoint. But most of us don't want to do things that don't make us comfortable, that are difficult, that we don't see a benefit from, or that become kind of tedious. So when we're prescribing a system, we want to make sure that we're prescribing something they'll be compliant with, use, and you know, recognize the most benefits they possibly can from the system that we work so hard to position them in.
Well, I love that you said earlier that you're a fan of movement. It's not that you're a fan of give everyone posterior tilt or give everyone anterior tilt as well, everyone gets reclined, but you're just a fan of movement. And you've used a lot of real-life situations, whether it's sitting at grandma's dining room table and kind of leaning back on the chair and having your parent give you the look, right?
Right, oh, yeah. We'll get it.
Adjusting our car seat, especially for longer drives, so the gravity helps a little bit. I guess it really is that tilt is a tool to help our clients move in the ways that they need to move, whether it's for weight shifting or comfort or helping with head positioning, visual field. It's all about movement. And I love that you said that really, ultimately, you're a fan of moving, period.
I am. I mean, we were made to move. You know, we have so many great clinical and functional presenters out there. So many people who do, you know, so many things in teaching people, you know, about what we do. I think one of the things I've enjoyed the most is that you can go and give a presentation to a room and you might have someone who's been an ATP for 1 year and you might have someone who's been an ATP for 35 or 40. And as a presenter, you try to cater to both, which is near impossible. But if you can just get one little real-world application snippet to the person who's been doing it for a long time and then give the newer folks different things to think about, you know, that's a win. And I think that now manufacturers have so many different things they offer. And they're much, I don't want to say easier, I don't mean that from a funding standpoint, but they're much more available than they were. They're not as custom. And what I find a lot is ATPs, clinicians, even sales reps, they'll say, well, I want this system with this back, with this amount of tilt and this amount of anterior tilt. And when you try to put that together, it may not work. But if you say, now listen, let me ask you the question differently. What do you want to accomplish? Well, I need them to transfer. I need them to transfer from this height to this height, but I can't have a seat to floor height higher than 18 inches. So, you know, my mantra has always been, always tell us what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, not necessarily what you think the components will be to accomplish the end game. Because a lot of times you can put things together differently, get a better solution, sometimes more cost effective, sometimes more simple, and not have to have the complexity that may be involved in other systems. I don't know if that made much sense, but just focus on what you want to accomplish, prioritize what you want to accomplish from an environmental, funding, physiological, and clinical standpoint, and then start to see what fits best.
Well, great. That was perfect. And that was Brad Peterson of Amelior sharing his experiences with tilt in its many forms. So thank you very much, Brad, for your time. Mobility Management podcasts are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. The best way to be sure you don't miss any of our podcasts is to subscribe. And you can also go onto our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen to the podcast there. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back again soon.